Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Revelation, the last chapter, chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Afterward, the form for the administration for holy baptism will be read, which you can find on page 55 or 126 in the back of your Psalter. Let us first sing from Psalter 281, stanzas 3 and 4. Changeless is Jehovah's mercy unto those who fear his name, and from eternity abiding to eternity the same. 3 and 4 of Psalter 281.
To read to you this morning from God's holy word, the last book, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. But before that, the law of God as it can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the thing which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us now read the form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in, or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Holy baptism witnesses and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we, sometimes through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, and that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, and that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 425, the fourth stanza, Ye seed from Abraham descended, to whom his favors were extended, and Jacob's children, whom the Lord has chosen, hearken to his word. He is the Lord our judge divine, in all the earth his glories shine. The fourth stanza of Psalter 425. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed His covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition. That therefore it may be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of His church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, and whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. And what is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. John Van Driesten? Mr. and Mrs. Toos Anker? Mr. and Mrs. Ben Van Hagebos? Dear parents, baptism does not grant grace to us. It does not grant grace to our children. That is the teaching of Rome. But according to the Word of God, baptism, that is an addition. That is baptism that presupposes grace. Baptism, and that is a sign. Baptism, and that is for the strengthening of faith. Thus, the essence of baptism, the substance of baptism, that is something that belongs to God's people. That is something that belongs to God's children. Thus we may ask first, parents, are we also one of God's children? It is perhaps that you say in your heart, if this now belongs to God's people, then I had better go back to my seat. Then I had better not present my child for baptism. But we would say that you should not leave so soon, because we can read of that which has come before baptism, that is, of circumcision, that is, that sign and the seal of the Old Testament, that the Lord says that he who is not circumcised, that he shall even be cut off from among my people. Thus, the substance that belongs to God's children, but the form, that is what the Lord has given to his visible church. Baptism, that is not only a sign. It is more than a sign. Why? because it is connected to a covenant. It is possible that you and I give to one another a friendly handshake. And that handshake that has a certain meaning. It is the handshake of friends. But it is also possible that you and I make a covenant together, that you and I make an agreement together, and then we also give to one another a handshake. Then you understand that that handshake that has much more meaning. Why? Because that is a handshake that is connected to a covenant. It is a handshake that is connected to an agreement. And when our handshake is connected to that agreement, then that handshake takes on a new meaning. What is that meaning? That is a pledge. That is a pledge. That is, you pledge to do your part, and I pledge to do my part. That is now the seal that is in baptism. Thus, the sign is connected to a covenant. And because it's connected to a covenant, that sign takes on the characteristic also of a seal. What does that mean? We just heard it out of our form. Whereas in all covenants, there are two parts. Then there is the part on the side of God's children. And what is that part? Well, we have heard that is a cleaving. A cleaving unto God. That is a looking unto Him. That is a forsaking of sin, a forsaking of the world. And then the Lord says, I have my part in that covenant. And what is my part? My part is as Father, that I adopt you. My part is as Son, that I will cleanse you. My part is as Holy Ghost, that I will apply it in your heart. And we heard the daily renewing of our lives. Is that not a wonder? Thus, when there is no grace, then we receive no benefit. It only testifies against us. But when there is grace, then what a blessing. Because this is a pledge, not only on your part, but it is a pledge on the part of God. On the part of God. Thus, the strengthening of the faith of that church, and that is lying parents on a foundation that is unmovably firm. May the Lord give that you may experience it with your children. Congregation, after the amen of baptism, we ask you to arise and to sing Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Joshua Garrett, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Cody Garrett, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Bradley Leon, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Reuben Kraft, who were blessed with two well-born girls in this past week. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirm the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee through the same Son of Thy love, and that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee. And Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Wilt Thou remember also these parents, with the grandparents, the great-grandparents, in the great privilege which is bestowed upon them in this day, for Thou makest a covenant with Thy church, and we receive that privilege that we may be instructed therein from Sabbath to Sabbath and from day to day. O, do humble us under Thy great goodness. But Lord, Thou knowest also all that lives within us from day to day. O, that Thy goodness may break our hard and stony hearts, that we may truly flee from all our sin, and that we may be given to walk an upright life, that we would not walk in the midst of this world as those who have no baptized forehead, and who are not brought up under Thy holy word. Lord, take away the hypocrisy that lives in our hearts. And Thou knowest all the wretchedness and all the sin and all the guilt. Oh, that Thou may wash us, and that Thou may truly cleanse us in that blood which is signified by this water, that may be sprinkled upon the foreheads of these children. And we are recipients of the same, that we also may not miss the substance, the essence of it. Strengthen these parents for their duty, according to what they have promised, which is from their side an impossibility. Help us all as parents, bring us back to this moment, when we have also stood there so often. Oh, that Thou may cause us day by day to flee from sin and from vanity. And wilt Thou show unto us Thy salvation. Grant conversion to our children. For we are short on every side on our part of that covenant. But Thou wilt not be short on Thy side, and Thou makest it not to depend upon us, but Thou sayest Thou wilt do it for Thy great name's sake. Lord, we beseech Thee for our children, and for our grandchildren, and for the rising generation, in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. Oh, that Thou may arise and look upon us in Thy mercy in the last days, wherein Satan is let loose more and more. Bless Thy word and sacrament in the heart of Thy children. It is for the strengthening of faith. Oh, give them to believe that Thou wilt do it, that Thou art still alive, that Thou art the governor over all the land of Egypt. Oh, that Thou may instruct them more and more in Thy truth. Wilt Thou look upon the children also that have been born in the week gone by? Remember mother and children together. Strengthen them in Thy mercy and help them together as parents to bring up their children in Thy fear. Care for all the needs in that family of which Thou knowest. Lord, wilt Thou supply in this hour when we are to bring a little portion of Thy Word. We beseech Thee for Thy help, not only for the body, for the mind, but above all, fill us with Thy Spirit. Show us Thy way and Thy Word, which Thou hast promised, Thou hast put in our mouth, and may it be for a blessing in the midst of us this hour. Forgive Thou and take away all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 235, all stanzas. Lord, my petition heed, now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am Thy servant, Lord, my trust is in Thy word, mercy to me afford. I cry to Thee, all stanzas of Psalter 235. Congregation, the words of our text for this hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Revelation chapter 22, and thereof the second part of the fourth verse, Revelation 22, verse 4b, and His name shall be in their foreheads. As so far the words of our text. The sealing of God's servants with His name in their foreheads. First, the meaning of this seal, and second, the assurance in this seal. The sealing of God's servants with His name in their foreheads. First, the meaning of this seal. And second, the assurance of this seal. Congregation, why does a farmer brand his cattle? That is, a mark of ownership. And that farmer says, these cattle, they are mine. And then there are several things involved in that. That farmer takes on a responsibility concerning those cattle. Then he says, I will feed them, I will care for them when they are sick. And then he is concerned and he will give medication. Or when they have become wounded, then he is very careful for them. When there is any threat, then they are coming under all his care. Thus that is in the first place. David, he took his little lambs out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear. But then there is also an expectation from those cattle. There is one upon which he will place a yoke. One will be harnessed. Another will be sold that his estate may be increased. There is in that farmer a certain kind of a pride in his animals, maybe in their number, but especially in their fatness, in their health, in their strength, so that farmer, he is not ashamed to take his own name or the symbol of his name, and to place it upon those cattle. Why is that necessary? Because sometimes those cattle are straying away. Then they need to be found, they need to be identified. Sometimes there is a thief. There is one who will take a poor animal and he will make a substitution. And therefore that animal needs to be identified. Sometimes also people are branded. That is done today sometimes in a voluntary way. In fraternities and in gangs, that they are branding themselves. But in the history of our world, then that was also often done in an involuntary way. We think only of slavery. And then especially in a way of punishment, when there was a slave that has run away, and then that slave was branded. And then a mark, sometimes the mark of an R for a runaway slave, that was placed upon him. Then he could be identified who he was. The Lord, we read in our text, He is also doing the same unto His church. We read, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And our first thought, we are asking, what is now the meaning of this? And there are two things. Because Paul writes to Timothy and says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Thus, it is a mark. It is a mark of ownership, because He knows them that are His. Infant baptism, that is actually such a sign and a seal, such a mark, wherein the Lord is claiming the children of His people. And what is now that mark that is placed upon them, parents? That is not your name. That is not the name of their father, nor is it the name of their mother. No, that is the name of God Himself, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is only right. That the Lord, He may have the children of His church, that is those whom He has redeemed, those whom He has sanctified, those whom He has bought with the price of His own blood, then He says, not only you are mine, but also your children are mine. Our farmers, they will say that is right. Because when my animals, they will give birth, then that young animal that also belongs to me. And thus it is with infant baptism. Thus the Lord, He says to us as parents that we have no right to bring up our children for this world. The Lord says, I have a right to receive profit not only from you, my people, but I have a right to receive profit from your children. I have a right to receive honor and to receive glory from your children. But there is much more. Because there is not only the side of a man's responsibility, but there is also a very great privilege. That the Lord, He is not ashamed to put the mark, that sign of Himself concerning His own name, upon the forehead of His own church. What does that mean? That the Lord says that I take over the responsibility for my children, that I will take care of them, that I will be sure that they are receiving everything that they need here in this life, and also for a life to come that is from the Father, from the Son, and from the Holy Ghost. Of course, that sign itself that is applied to the entire visible church. Why? Because we do not know who that true elect of God are. And we cannot pretend to know it. But the Lord, He says that He knows them that are His, and in the meantime, all the rest they are receiving also at the same time very great privileges. That is, the privileges of His church here on earth, even as we can read of a Judas. We can read of Cain that the Lord even placed a mark upon Cain, lest, He said, any finding him should kill him. Thus the Lord, in His goodness, His common goodness, has placed upon him a mark that he should not die. And the Lord says, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. They are not all truly my people which are of the visible church. And yet the entire nation of Israel, they have been led by the Lord and they have been fed by the Lord for 40 years in that wilderness. And they all lived so close. Because of that privilege, they lived so close. Every night, that people were given the privilege of encamping around the signs and the symbols of the presence and the communion of the Lord. What is now the character of a brand? The character of a brand, that is, that it is not removable. Then it is not like a tag which can be taken off, but it is a brand which remains. Thus, the character is that it is permanent. And so it is with a seal. Thus, when we have received this sign, this mark upon our forehead, and we die unconverted, we take, congregation, this mark with us to hell. That mark that will be forever a testimony of where we have sat in our life. That mark will be a testimony forever and forever that it has been proclaimed unto us that there is a free and sovereign grace. Thus, that mark that will burn within our foreheads and in the foreheads of our children to all eternity. What we have despised. Actually, we have then two marks, because we read in the Bible also of another mark, that is the mark of the beast, that is in the forehead and in the hand. Thus, those who have that mark of the beast and those that have that mark of baptism, they have actually a double mark. We read in God's Word that you cannot serve God and mammon. But that is now what man is trying to do when he is under that, in that visible church, but has still a desire in his heart to serve this world. But John, he speaks here only of a single mark. He says, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Thus, not a double people, not a double heart, not a double life, no, but a single life. And elsewhere, then we read that the Lord says in a very special way that nor do they have in them that mark of that beast. Thus, that is the meaning we say that is ownership. Ownership. When does that ownership begin in the life of God's people? Our children will tell us it begins not here on the earth, but it begins in eternity. And then we consider that together in catechism now, children, young people, that doctrine of election, that eternal decree that is before the creation, before the fall, before the redemption, before the birth of God's children, that eternal decree. All these things, they are flowing out of that decree and they are serving that decree of God's election. Thus we read that it is a people who are loved with an everlasting love, everlasting forever in the future, but also never had a beginning, ununderstandable by us. And yet, we can read that it is a people who are born in a state of wrath. It is a people who are born under the curse. It is a people who are born under the displeasure of the Lord. Is that possible, to be loved and to be under the displeasure of the Lord? Yes. Yes, it is, children, is it not? You are loved by your mother and father, but sometimes you are under their displeasure. Why? Because of your sin. And it is because of sin, and that is the state in which a man is born into this world, that he is born under that curse. He is born under that displeasure of the Lord. From the side of the Lord, there is no love. From the side of that people, there is no love to the Lord. From the side of that people, there is no desire for the Lord. It is just the opposite. Our own heart can testify to that. It is desire for the world. It is desire for sin. It is desire for everything that is vain and that is perishing. And yet they cannot perish. They cannot perish because they are preserved. Before that Saul was stopped on that way to Damascus, he could not die. Why not? Because the Lord was preserving him. That was an elect child of the Lord. And he was protected and cared for by the Lord even while he was yet in that state of wrath. But then we read in God's word that there comes a special time wherein this people, it is said, they become the children of God. And when is that? That is in that new birth. That is in regeneration. We read in Ezekiel 16, the Lord says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord. And thou becamest mine. Thus, that is that moment that moment wherein the Lord, He is taking that people for His own, and wherein the Lord is Himself writing, engraving His own name in the forehead of the people to claim them. It is true that is already from eternity, but from eternity in an objective way. It is true they are His, and in a certain way become His, being bought by the blood of Christ, thus in the death of Christ and in the resurrection of Christ. But that is all what we say that is in an objective way. But it is in that new birth that people, they are owned by the Lord in a subjective manner. Thus, in that moment, then there is something that is worked in them. There is something of true faith. There is something of that love. There is something of that desire. There is something of that true sorrow that is born in that people. This people, congregation, they belong unto God. Moses says the Lord's people, they are the portion of His inheritance. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. We can read that Isaiah, he speaks of it also in Isaiah 42:43-1-2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And what does that mean? Thou art mine. That means, he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Thus that mark, we read also in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, what the consequences are of receiving that mark of God in our forehead. After these things I saw, says John, four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and they were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And His name shall be in their foreheads. Why? Marked by Him. And there shall not one plague be able to touch them, not one hair be able to fall from their heads, except that He is giving permission. Is there a more blessed people on this earth? What do you think, young people? A people that are owned by God? A people whom He pledges to care for in this world, but also to bring them into that blessedness of that world to come? What is the first question and answer of our catechism that is speaking about the only comfort in life and in death. And what is that comfort? Oh, that is to know that I am not my own, that I do not stand for my own responsibility, for my own accountability, but that I belong. That I belong to someone else. That I belong to whom? That I belong to my natural father and mother. That is a good thing, boys and girls, because they help you, but they cannot help you when you have to die. And there are so many things that they cannot help you with in this world. That I belong, it says, unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, then there is nothing greater than God, that God's children desire to know in their life, than that His name is written on their forehead. But congregation, how many questions do that people not have? Whether that name that is written on their foreheads. Newton, he says, 'tis the point I long to know. Am I His or am I not? Indeed, I know I have that mark of baptism on my forehead. But is that now a single mark? Or is that now a double mark? David says, Lord, show me. Show me a token for good, that I am thine, that thou art mine, that thou art for me. Is that also our need? Is that also our desire as we go through this world? That brings us to our second thought, and the assurance in that seal. But let us sing first from Psalter 92, the first stanza. Be thou my helper in this strife. O Lord, my strong defender, be thy mighty shield, protect my life. Thy spear confront the enemy. And what follows in the first stanza of Psalter 92.
Thank you.
and his name shall be in their foreheads. What is, congregation, the cause that there are so many doubts, that there are so many fears in the life of God's children concerning whether they be a true servant of the Lord or no? That is actually not so difficult, because David, he says, the eyes of a servant, they look unto their master. And the eyes of a maiden, they look unto their mistress. When we would see a servant, when we would see a mistress, then we would know that they belong to their master by their whole life. That will not be difficult to see. Because when it is a true servant, then he is not serving himself. Then his eye is looking to his master. That is, to the goals of his master, to the projects of his master. Then his eye is looking to his master that he may receive all his own sustenance from his master. Why are there so many doubts and fears in the life of God's people concerning whether or not they are a true servant of the Lord? It is because that they cannot find in themselves so much of the life of that servant. What does the Lord say? He accuses his own people and says that you have left me days without number. And that testimony that is living in the heart of the people to their grief. That they say, am I a servant? Do I love him? Am I a child? Am I his? Or am I not? The Apostle Paul, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And what he saw in his life, that was the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. Thus, then they are lacking that assurance that they are in truth a servant of the Lord. What causes so much doubt of a person's interest in God and in Christ? What causes more doubt in that than sin? David, after he sinned, he said, Lord, cast me not away from thy presence. Because there David felt that he was no servant. Then David felt what he truly deserved from the side of the Lord. And now we have heard how that Paul said to Timothy, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And that is, congregation, the first part. that is standing on the side of the Lord, but election that is hidden from us. Thus, Paul says to Timothy, there is a second part. Not only that the Lord knows them that are His, but He says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why? Depart from iniquity, that they may be justified, that they may receive by the merit of their own hands? No. No. But it is in that departing from iniquity that God is granting the assurance in the life of His own children. James says a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Say, that is not what Paul says. Because Paul says a man is not justified by works, but he is justified by his faith. James does not mean that. Paul speaks about the justification from the side of God. What does James speak about? He speaks about how that justification is evident. How do we know it? How do all other people know it? How does everyone know of the justification of Abraham? He says. He says, Abraham, he was justified by his works. That is, that he is shown to be just by what he has done. Thus, by the fruits which are flowing out of that justification, which is what? Which is sanctification. In the first Lord's Day of our Heidelberg Catechism, that has to do with thankfulness. Thus, it is not justification. Thankfulness, that is following, flowing out of deliverance, that first Lord's Day. Then it asks, why must man then yet do good works? And then part of that answer that we read is that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he says, by their fruits ye shall know them. But what is now the difference between justification and sanctification? Our children can tell us. Well, they will say, justification, that is complete immediately. And sanctification? Yeah. That is not complete immediately. Sanctification, there is only a beginning of sanctification in this life. And therefore, the doubts. Therefore, the fears that are living in the hearts of those true children of God. When can they believe it? When the Lord gives them an eye to behold that mediator. Then there are moments in the life of that people, in the revelation of His only begotten Son, that they may see that He is for their justification, and that He is also for their sanctification. And it is in those moments that people may see something and may experience something of the blessedness that is flowing out of that blood that has been shed upon that cursed tree. But what does our text say? Our text says, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And what does the Lord speak about? He speaks about what is the desire that is living in the heart of the true church. He is speaking about the complete restoration of the image of God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It is a pledge. The Lord says, and His name shall be in their foreheads. God is His name. Thus, when it says that His name shall be in their foreheads, that is to say the same thing as that image of God in which they have been created, that image that is that which I will restore in them. Where does that begin? Children? That starts in regeneration, you say. That is true. But when is it finished? That is finished in death, not in birth. That is finished in death. Why? Because then sanctification, not justification that is done in one moment, but now that sanctification, all that is now complete when? That sanctification is complete when they shall take this body and when this vile body shall be laid in the grave. And then sin, that shall be all finished. That is what John is speaking about. Because he is speaking about the New Jerusalem. He is speaking about that time when God, He will receive His own church, whom He has justified, when He will receive them again unto Himself in glory. Oh, and then He says they shall serve Him perfectly. Listen to what it says. And His servants shall serve Him and shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, that means that there will be for that people a completion of that image. His name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, the image of God that is now going to be perfected. It is going to be able to be seen in that people. Not only the name on the forehead, but that whole person renewed after the image of Him who has created him. John says, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. And Paul says that there shall be a change in this vile body because that vile body is now going to be fashioned like unto, he says, His glorious body. all in His image. That image that they were created in. And the image that that people, they will be restored to. That is in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Oh, they shall know Him. That shall grow and grow. What does Christ say? This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Righteousness, perfect conformity to that holy law of God. No more grief to that people when they are outside of the obedience of that law. And with their feet and with their hands, with the words of their mouth, and with the thoughts and the desires and the intentions of their heart. Oh, to be restored. To be restored in that perfect holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, to be made like unto that image of Him, and to be now completely renewed. Oh, congregation, the Lord says His name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, there is a church here below, and they have a small beginning of that obedience. We have heard. We have heard what it is, what is now promised. Oh, how impossible from the side of God's children to come into fulfillment. But there is a small beginning, something of that image that becomes visible here in this life. And as much as that image is visible, so much comfort and assurance that people are given, but it is often not so visible. No, think only of Solomon. And how that he has gone down into the idol temples. No, then it was not so visible. Think only of David and what he has done. No, then it was not so visible. The sins of God's church, oh, they become their grief. Oh, that lack of sanctification in the life of God's children, that is a burden. And they go over the world congregation with that burden, do we also? Because that is now a mark of that true church. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. But it will not remain that way. No, that is the word of the Lord. And the Lord says to His church, oh, this is now my part. That is the part that I pledge. That when I have begun, I am also going to make an end. Oh, then it is not for that people to despair because of all their lack, because of all their sin, because of all their iniquity. But the Lord says, my people, there is coming a day that my name shall be written in your forehead. Oh, there is coming a day that my image that will be so perfectly restored in you. The Apostle John, he says, now we know that we are the sons of God. But he says it does not yet appear what we shall be. Oh, that is the pledge of the Lord. They shall not play the harlot anymore. They shall not go out after the idols anymore. They shall not lay upon that bed of sloth anymore. And when there is no sin anymore, then they will have grief no more. And then they will have tears no more. But all their tears will in that way be wiped away by the Lord. but his servants, they shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. O congregation, is it any wonder that the psalmist, he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because then he shall see that image perfectly restored again. Oh, how he shall receive such honor and such glory, world without end. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, we may see here in this hour the tokens of that blood which will be for the washing of the sin of thy people. So there shall be nothing lacking when thou wilt justify them, but when thou wilt also complete it, and when thou wilt seal their deliverance forever and forever. And wilt thou grant thy children longing more and more for that day, and a fleeing from sin, each and every one of us, and bring us safely to our places, forgive our sins, and bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour, for Jesus' sake, amen. 438, stanza 4. Moreover, they forewarn in thy servant that he scorn all evil ways, O Lord. And what follows in the last stanza of Psalter 4 and the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.